the world's great novels. Though he died in 1900 at the untimely age of 30, his name is one to conjure with in American literature, a pioneer, not only in the treatment of psychology, but in the realm of imagism and free verse as well. The National Broadcasting Company brings you Stephen Crane's The Red Badge of Courage, another in our series of books that live the world's great novels.
I'm speaking to you of war. What it does to men. What it did to me. Mine was the Civil War, but that doesn't change my story. The whirring machine of progress can perfect and advance the implements of destruction, but it cannot change the soul of the soldier, for that's a thing of God. To the man, at the moment, it makes no difference if he faces a muzzle loader, a musket, or a machine gun. What matters is, he faces death. I'd dreamed of battles all my life. A raw lad from a farm, I'd envisioned myself in many Homeric struggles. And then war came in my own country. I'd burned to enlist several times, but Mother always discouraged me, laughed a little. Then one day, I took matters into my own hands. Ma, I've enlisted.
Henry, don't you be a fool.
But, Ma...
Don't talk such nonsense.
Ma, I have enlisted. Ma?
The Lord's will be done, Henry.
The day I stood in the doorway in my new uniform, I saw two tears on my mother's cheeks. Still, I was disappointed. I'd counted on a beautiful scene. But Ma said nothing about my returning with my shield or on it. She never stopped peeling potatoes as she talked.
You watch out, Henry, and take good care of yourself in this here fighting business. You watch out and take care of yourself. Don't go thinking you can lick the whole rebel army at the start, because you can't. I know how you are, Henry. I've net you 8 pair of socks, Henry, and whenever they get holes in them, I want you to send them right way back to me so as I can darn them. And always be careful and choose your company. I don't want you to ever do anything, Henry, that you'd be ashamed to let me know about. Always remember your father, too, child. And remember, he never drunk a drop of liquor in his life, and seldom swore a cross oath. I don't know what else to tell you, Henry, except if so be a time comes when you have to be killed. Why, Henry, don't think of anything except what's right. Don't do no shirking on my account, because there's many a woman has to bear up against such things these times. And the Lord will take care of us all. I've put a cup of blackberry jam with your bundle, because I know you like it above all things. Goodbye, Henry. Watch out and be a good boy.
As I look back from the gate, Ma was still paring potatoes. But her hands seemed to shake a little. On the way to Washington, the regiment was fed and hailed at station after station till I was convinced I must be a hero. I felt growing within me the strength to do mighty deeds of arms. But then there came the months of monotonous life in a camp. Since coming to the field, my regiment had done little but sit still and try to keep warm. But as the landscape changed from brown to green, the army awakened and began to tremble with eagerness at the noise of rumors.
Hey, listen.
What's up, Jim?
The army's gonna move.
What are you talking about?
We're gonna move tomorrow, sure.
Where'd you get that?
We're going way up the river, cut across, and come around in behind it.
You really think so, Jim?
I know so, Henry.
It's a lie. That's all it is, a thundering lie. I don't believe the derned old army's ever going to move. I've got ready to move 8 times in the last 2 weeks, and we ain't moved yet.
Right. Going to be a battle, sure, is there, Jim?
Of course there is, Henry. You just wait till tomorrow, and you'll see one of the biggest battles ever was. You just wait.
Thunder.
Oh, you'll see fighting this time, my boy. That'll be regular out-and-out fight.
Well, it could be this story will turn out just like the others did.
Not much it won't. Not much it won't. Didn't the cavalry all start this morning?
Yeah, that's so.
Well, they say there ain't hardly any cavalry left in camp. They're going to Richmond or someplace, while we fight all the Johnnies. It's some dodge like that. The regiment's got orders, too. A feller what seen them go to headquarters told me a little while ago. And they're raising blazes all over camp. Anybody can see that, eh, Henry?
I didn't answer, Jim. I was suddenly busy with my own thoughts. On the morrow, perhaps there'd be a battle, and I'd be in it. At the moment, it appeared to me that in battle I might run. I was forced to admit that as far as war was concerned, I knew nothing of myself. I was an unknown quantity with perhaps certain qualities which would everlastingly disgrace me. A little panic fear grew in my mind. Jim!
What, Henry?
How do you think the regiment will do?
Oh, they'll fight all right, I guess, after they once get into it. Been heaps of fun poked at us because we're new and all that, but we'll fight all right, I guess.
Think any of the boys will run?
Oh, there may be a few of them run, but there's them kind in every regiment, especially when they first goes under fire. They call the regiment fresh fish and everything, but the boys come of good stock, and most of them will fight like sin after they once get shooting.
Did you ever think you might run yourself, Jim?
Well, tell you, I thought it might get too hot for Jim Conklin in some of them scrimmages. And if a whole lot of boys started and run, why, I suppose I'd start to run. And if I once started to run, I'd run like the devil and no mistake. But if everybody was a-standing and a-fighting, why, I'd stand and fight too. Be Jiminy, I would. I'll bet on it.
By the time the sun rays struck full and mellowingly upon the earth the next morning, our regiment had formed 2 long black columns which disappeared on the brow of a hill in front and rearward vanished in a wood.
When we made camp for the night, I sought out Wilson.
Well, hello, Henry. What you doing?
Oh, thinking.
Sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
You're getting blue, my boy. You're looking thundering peaked. What the dickens is wrong with you?
Oh, nothing.
Well, don't fret. We've got them now. At last, by the eternal thunders, we'll lick them good. Well,
Jim Conklin says we'll get plenty of fighting this time.
Yeah, he's right for once, I guess. This time we're in for a big battle, and we've got the best end of it for sure.
Gee, rot, how we'll thump them.
You're going to do great things, I suppose.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I suppose I'll do as rest as well as the rest. I'm going to try like thunder.
How do you know you won't run when the time comes?
Run? Run? Oh, of course not.
Well, lots of good in us thought they were going to do great things before the fight, but when the time came, they skedaddled.
Oh, that's all true, I suppose. But I'm not going to skedaddle. The man that bets on my running will lose his money, that's all. You'll find out, Henry.
Yeah, reckon I will. Then, on a gray dawn, I found myself running down a wood road. One by one, regiments burst into view like armed men just born of the earth. I knew the time had come. I looked about me. It'd be impossible to escape from the regiment. I was in a moving box. It occurred to me that I'd never wished to come to war. I was dragged by the merciless government. And now they were taking me out to be slaughtered. We were all going to be sacrificed, killed like pigs. None of the men saw it but me. I wanted to warn them. They were going to look at war. The red animal. War, the blood-swollen god.
Hey, you.
Huh?
Come on, close up the ranks or you're lagging behind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Coldness swept over my back.
My trousers felt strange to my legs. I was alone in space.
Lord, Saunders' men got crushed. The Rebs are coming at us now.
Here they come!
Be sure you've got your gun set.
Here they come. Lord, here they come.
Reserve your fire, boys. Don't shoot, I tell you. Save your fire. Wait till I get up close. Don't be fools. Look how many of them there is.
I didn't come here to fight the whole rebel army.
Hold the fire.
Why can't
hold
they
the fire.
Help?
Fire! Start firing! Fire, you fools! Quick, men! Reload! Fire at will! Give it to them, men! They're still coming! Coming! Give it to them, fire!
The men dropped here and there like bundles. They lay twisted and fantastic proportions. Level sheets of flame developed great clouds of smoke that tumbled and tossed near the ground for a moment and then rolled through the ranks as though through a gate. A boy to my left whom I'd thought full of courage suddenly threw out his gun and ran like a rabbit.
We can't hold him! Stop! Stop being alive!
Then I saw a few others were fleeing. They were the ones that sent it was a trap. I wasn't meant to die. I had to save myself. I swung about and began to run. I lost my rifle and cap. My canteen beat wildly against my hip. I ran like a blind man. A blind man in a race with death.
I can't tell you how many hours I walked through the cathedral light of forests and the oozing brown of muddy swamps. Finally reached a road along which came a steady current of the blood-stained and maimed. One of the wounded men had a shoe full of blood. He hopped like a schoolboy in a game. Another had the gray seal of death already on his face. His hands were bloody from where he'd pressed him upon his wound. As he walked, he seemed always looking for a place, like one who goes to choose a grave. Others tried to help him. And something in his gesture as he waved the men away made me start as if bitten.
Jim Conklin!
Hello, Henry.
Oh, Jim. Oh, Jim. Jim.
Where you been, Henry? I thought maybe you got keeled over. There's been thunder to pay today. I was worrying about it a good deal.
Jim. Oh, Jim.
You know, I was out there. Lord, what a circus. But, Jiminy, I got shot. I got shot. Yes, but, Jiminy, I got shot. I tell you what I'm afraid of, Henry. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. Afraid I'll fall down. And then, you know, them darned artillery wagons. They like as not to run over me. That's what I'm afraid of.
I'll take care of you, Jim. I'll take care of you. I swear I will.
Sure, will you, Henry? I was always a good friend to you. Weren't I, Henry? I've always been a pretty good fella, ain't I? It ain't much to ask, is it? Just to pull me along out of the road. I'd do it for you, wouldn't I, Henry?
Yeah, of course, Jim. Just lean on me. I'll take care of you. Jim. Don't walk away from me, Jim.
No. No. Leave me be. Leave me be.
Jim!
You'd better take him out of the road, partner. There's a backer coming hell of a hoop down the road, and you'll get runned over. He's a goner, anyhow. You can see that. Where the blazes does he get his strength from?
Lord knows. One minute he was begging me to help him. Now he won't let me. Jim. Jim, come with me.
Into the fields.
Oh, he's running. Come on, we'll have to catch him.
All right.
Jim, what are you doing? What makes you do this way? You'll hurt yourself.
No, don't touch me. Leave me be.
Where are you going, Jim? Won't you tell me?
Leave me, can't you? Leave me be for a minute.
He acts like he's got to get somewhere as important in a hurry.
Look, he's stopped now. Jim. Jim.
Yeah. This is the place he was after. You could see it in his eyes.
Jim, leave me be. Don't touch me. Leave me.
Jim. Well, He's gone now.
That's for sure. He was regular Jim Dandy for nerve, wasn't he? I never see a man do like that before. It was a funny thing. Well, he was regular Jim Dandy. Well, we'd better be moving on, partner. I ain't enjoying any great health myself these days.
Good Lord, you're not... Not you, too.
Nearly die. Well, I want some pea soup and a good bed. Some pea soup. It was a pretty good fight, though, wasn't it? Darn me if I ever see fellas fight so. You can't lick them boys. No, sir. They're fighters, they be. Where'd you get hit, partner? I say, where'd you get hit? Say, partner, what you running away for?
I was running from my own shame, but it clung to me. I became suddenly envious of the wounded soldiers. I wished that I, too, had a wound, a red badge of courage. My past dreams of glory returned to torture me. A certain moth-like quality now kept me in the vicinity of battle. I had to see, to get news, to know who was winning. As I neared the smoke of battle, I saw dark waves of armed men come sweeping out of the woods and down through the fields. They charged like terrified buffaloes. I knew this fight was lost, and I was horror-struck. I for once forgot my own battle against the universe. I ran to the men, desperate to know what had happened. I grabbed one man by the arm.
What? Let me go! Let me go!
I gotta know what happened.
Let me go!
I'm a Yank. I'm on your side. Tell me!
Why don't you let me go, or I'll kill you.
What happened? I gotta know.
Oh, wait, man.
Watch out. Don't swing that rifle.
Halt, who goes there?
Oh. Hello, Wilson. You here?
Henry? That you, Henry?
Yeah, it's me.
Well, well, old boy. My ginger, I'm glad to see you. I give you up for a goner.
What did you think had happened to me?
Oh, I thought you was dead, sure enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had an awful time. I've been all over, way over on the right. Terrible fighting over there. I had an awful time. I got separated from the regiment. I got shot in the head.
What? You got shot? Well, why didn't you say so first? Poor old boy, we got to take care of that. Come along.
I don't know how I got separated from the regiment. It was terrible over on the right.
Man, your head must hurt like thunder.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts a great deal.
Well, I'm going to take care of you now. Sit down here near the firelight.
Yeah.
Now, let's have a look at your old head. Here we are, just as I thought. You've been grazed by a ball. Raised a queer lump, just as if some feller had lammed you on the head with the butt of his rifle.
No.
Well, the most about it is that in the morning you feel that a number 10 hat wouldn't fit you, and your head'll be all head up and feet as dry as burnt pork. But it's just a darn good belt on the head and nothing more. I'll just wash off the place a bit and then tie it up. You don't holler nor say nothing. You're a good un, Henry. You got some gumption.
Jim Conklin's dead.
What? Jim Conklin?
Yeah, he's dead. Shot in the side.
You don't say so. Poor cuss. How's that feel now, Henry?
All right.
Well, come now. I gotta see you get a good night's rest. Here now, just lay down. These blankets will make you rest like a baby.
Hold on a minute. Where are you gonna sleep?
Oh, right down there by you.
But hold on a minute. What are you gonna sleep in? I got your...
Oh, shut up and go to sleep. Don't be making a darn fool of yourself.
All right, Wilson. Wilson?
Huh?
Reckon we'll fight again tomorrow?
Oh, reckon.
Ain't you had enough for a spell?
I've got to fight again.
In a clear space, the troops were at last halted. Lines were faced toward the pursuing bark of the enemy's infantry. The woods began to crackle as if a fire.
Whoop, my daddy, here we are. Everybody fighting blood and destruction.
I was willing to bet they'd attack as soon as the sun got fairly up.
If they keep on chasing us, they'd better watch out. By cracky, I can't stand too much.
If they keep on chasing, they'll drive us all into the river.
The day before, I'd fought the world.
this day I had but a wild hate for the relentless foe. I lost sense of everything but my hate, my desire to smash into pulp the glittering smile of victory I could feel upon the faces of my enemy. My rifle barrel grew so hot I could scarcely hold it, yet I kept on stuffing it with cartridges and pounding them with the clanking, bending ramrod. I was so engrossed in my solitary fight, I wasn't aware of a lull.
Hey, Henry, the infernal fool! Don't you know enough to quit when there ain't anything to shoot at?
Lordy!
Huh? Oh! Hot work, boy! Hot work! There ain't nothing the matter with you, is there, Henry?
Oh, I'm all right. Of course, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just a firecracker, that's all. By heaven, if I had 10,000 wildcats like you, Fleming, I could tear the stomach out of this war in less than a week.
I pondered to myself. I'd fought like a beast, like a pagan who defends his religion. It was wild, and in some ways easy. Been a tremendous figure, no doubt. I was now what I would have called a hero, and yet I hadn't been aware of the process. The men continued their excited talk.
By thunder, I bet this army will never see another new regiment like us.
Lost a pile of men, the reps did. If an old woman slept up the woods, she'd get a dustpan full.
Yeah, and if she'll come around about an hour from now, she'll get a pile more.
Wilson and I left the regiment to fetch some water. Looking down the aisle of a grove, we saw the general ride up to another officer. Wilson and I made a little show of walking on, but we lingered near in a desire to overhear the conversation.
The enemy's forming over there for another charge.
Yes, General.
It'll be directed against Whiteside. I fear they'll break through there unless we work like thunder to stop them.
It'll be the devil to pay stopping them, General.
I presume so. What troops could you spare?
Yes, sir. They had to order in the 12th to help the 76th. They haven't really got any. Here's the 304th.
Boss Henry.
Fight like a lot of mule drivers. I can spare them best of any.
Get them ready, then. I'll watch developments here and send you word when to start them. It'll happen in about 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe many of your mule drivers will get back.
I know, sir.
Hear what he said, Wilson?
He said, wouldn't many of us get back?
And he called us mule drivers.
Huh.
Well, I may fight like a mule driver, Wilson, but I don't intend to die like one.
Me neither, Henry.
We're getting swallowed. Come on, you fools! Come on! You can't stay here! We gotta charge!
Charge?
This ground's too exposed! We'll all get killed if we stay here! We've gotta get across that lot!
Across there?
Certainly! We've gotta go forward! We can't stay here! Come on!
Come on yourself, then! Come on, Wilson! Come on!
Hugo! Sound the charge!
Fill the over the field with the scurry of bats. There was a handful of men splattered into the faces of the enemy. The obedient flag bent its glittering form and swept with us. As I hurled myself forward, there was born in me a love, a despairing fondness for this flag. It was a creation of beauty and invulnerability. It was a woman, red and white, hating and loving, that called with the voice of my hopes. In the mad scramble, I saw the color sergeant flinch suddenly.
Flag bearer's been hit.
He's dead.
I'll carry it.
No, let me keep it.
Give it to me, Wilson.
You was hurt yesterday, Henry. You ain't too strong.
Get away. I'll carry it, I tell you.
All right, then. We're all going to be killed anyway.
Oh, shut up, you fool.
You didn't know.
Charge them.
We must charge them.
Charge them. Lord, we're only a handful.
Look at Henry. He's run away up front with the colors.
Come on. Let's charge him. We're not mule drivers. Come on.
Henry. Henry, don't be a darn fool. Don't stay so far out front.
I see the enemy's flag, Wilson. I'm going to get it.
You ain't even got a gun no more.
Neither is he.
All right, I'll help you.
Just over that fence. He's coming after him, Wilson.
We got your rep. We're running that flag.
Let's see you try and take it, you ain't.
All right, then. Get him, Henry.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it. We got the enemy's flag, Wilson. I told you we'd do it.
Well, it's all over.
By golly, it is. Sure lost a lot of men.
We did, all right.
If a man should come up and ask me, I'd say we got a dumb good licking. Still in all, we won. Didn't I tell you we'd come around it behind them? Didn't I? What's the matter, Henry?
Nothing.
You shouldn't feel sad or bad or nothing. You was a real Jim Dandy, Henry. You was a real hero.
Oh, shut your mouth, Wilson.
Thank you.
I found that I could look back upon the brass and bombast of my earlier gospels and see them truly. I discovered I could now despise them. With the conviction came a store of assurance, quiet manhood. I'd been to touch the great dead, and found, after all, it was but the great dead. So it came to pass that as I trudged from the place of blood and wrath, my soul changed. Scars faded as flowers. I'd rid myself of the red sickness of battle. The sultry nightmare was in the past. I turn now with a lover's thirst to images of tranquil skies, fresh meadows, cool brooks, an existence of soft and eternal peace.
The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane is one of the world's great novels, brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. And now, a special announcement. The NBC University of the Air presents Dr. John W. Taylor, president of the University of Louisville, who is speaking from Louisville.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First, may I thank the National Broadcasting Company for having made possible on a national scale the offering of a radio-assisted correspondence course in contemporary literature. During the war, 11 million members of the armed forces were given induction tests, and psychologists are willing to stake their reputations on this fact. 49% of our population has the ability to profit by 14 years of schooling. In other words, by 2 years of college. It is my firm belief that only through the radio and the written word transmitted by correspondence can those millions of American citizens have the opportunity for a general education at the college level. We at the University of Louisville have been experimenting for a full academic year with the broadcasting of live classroom discussions in the fields of social science, literature, and the contemporary arts. Tonight's dramatization portrayed the first of 8 novels which will be studied by a summer session class given at the University of Louisville. These dramatizations will come to you each Friday over this network and will be followed in Louisville by a local broadcast of the regular classroom discussion for the benefit of students in this area. This radio course has been planned for people interested in studying for self-improvement, as well as for those desiring to complete degree credit work. Registered students will receive study materials which include text assignments and outlines, supplemented with specific assignments and directions from the instructor. As far as the next generation is concerned, any answer this country has to the totalitarian state's philosophies must lie in an enlightened electorate. It is the desire of the University of Louisville, as well as of the National Broadcasting Company, to see other cooperating universities and colleges throughout the country join the University of Louisville in bringing education into the homes of their respective communities.
We return you now to Chicago.
The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane was adapted for radio by Agnes Eckhart, and the production was under the direction of Homer Heck. Next week, we will present a radio treatment of The Rise of Silas Lapham by William Dean Howells. Why not visit your local public library and borrow a copy of this book? It's yours for the asking. In The Red Badge of Courage, Charles Flynn was featured as Henry. Jim was played by Harry Elders, Wilson by Charles Mountain, the Lieutenant by Ernie Andrews, Ma by Hope Summers, the General by Jess Pugh, and the Wounded Soldier by Jonathan Howell. Others were Lee Young and Bob Smith. John Conrad speaking. This program came to you from Chicago. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.